What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 374, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. What's up?
We were fine before we started, and then like I just feel this heat. I feel like I'm going to start sweating again. I have the AC on, but we've talked about this before, how like just this room is just hot. Just
heats up fast.
And for the podcast, I had a fan going. I turned the fan off. That's usually behind me. No fan. So we get good audio here for the podcast. But if you start seeing like these dots, you know, I'm sweating through my shirt. I feel like that's what it's going to be. So
it's no good.
But this should be not quick podcast, but it shouldn't be as long because there's not as much news.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It seemed like
a short list.
There's not a ton of stuff going on. If you guys want to check out the show notes page, that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And as you can see, the news section is not all that big, but there is a pretty big, massive story going on in the tech industry that doesn't have to necessarily do with tech, but we're going to talk about it. At least going to give you my thoughts on it. And I'm sure Ryan will want to chime in with his thoughts on it as well. But let's just talk about reviews first, because of course that's the more important things are the reviews. And this week I took a look at this keyboard. How cool is this?
I like it. I like the colorway. I like the big. I know we mentioned it, I think last week, the big font on the keys. I think it's cool.
Yeah. So this is the Melgeek Modern 97, which is a 97 key keyboard. And we worked with Melgeek before, and I'm always excited because I'm always like, I'm going to do one of two things this year. I always say this, I'm going to learn how to build a custom keyboard, or I'm going to learn how to do custom water cooling. And just both never seem to happen.
Neither one
happens. So I love companies like Melgeek that put together a keyboard that has a lot of the same features you get when you build your own custom keyboard, but you know, it's pre-built. You don't have to do anything, which I like. And it doesn't look like your normal off-the-shelf keyboard, as this one doesn't. So this has this really cool colorway. It looks so much better in person too. But the colorway is, what would you call this, like on the frame? Like this?
It's like splatter paint.
Yeah, it's like a splatter
paint. But without like the big splatters you used to get like in the 90s, you know? Like it's just like almost a mist of paint. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's this really cool frame that just stands out on your desk. Again, the pictures don't necessarily do it justice. Like I'm looking at it right now and it just really stands out compared to even like a white keyboard. And then we have mostly white keycaps, some blue in there and some gold. And then the legends on most of the keycaps, all the white ones, are gold as well. So just this really cool colorway that just stands out. So just the colorway by itself is a great selling point to this keyboard. Now, like I said it was 97 key, which is very close to like 100% or a full-size keyboard, but everything's just a little bit crammed together. So you do get a full number pad, you do get all of your arrow keys, and you do get the full function row. So you're getting everything that most like power users, especially like number pad people, would want. Which I like, but it's not, I mean, it's definitely bigger than a TKL, but I feel like it definitely feels closer to a TKL than a full size, at least to me. It's not as big on your desk, which I appreciate because I like the smaller keyboards. So I think this solves the problem of the full-size user, because all the cool keyboards are 65%, 70%, you know, 75%. Getting a cool keyboard that's the full size, I like the 97%. So you have that, and like I said, those, you know, the colorway is just so cool.
One thing I wish they would have changed, not that I have the keyboard, but up top you've got print and pause. I would have rather seen delete and end.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like those two keys, I use my delete and end all the time, and home.
Yeah, well, luckily you can reprogram this. So.
Exactly. I was going to say, you can probably reprogram those, but yeah, anyhow.
Yeah. But yeah, you can see on the other side, and they have like the Melgeek logo on the escape key. And what's cool about this keyboard is that it is multi-connection. So it comes with a 2.4 gigahertz wireless dongle. You can use it via Bluetooth and you can use it wired. So whatever you're doing, whether, you know, if you want to connect this to a tablet, easy to do. If you, you know, you can plug it into your PC, you can plug the dongle in, you're good to go, you know, either way, which I really like there. And getting everything connected is seamless and easy. I had no problem getting it connected via Bluetooth, as well as with the 2.4 gigahertz dongle. No software needed to get anything connected, which is really nice. Now, this uses a pretty interesting size or design, not design, but layout for the keycaps. So this MCR, which is very close to the Cherry. So it's not, it doesn't feel all that different, but it is worth noting that it's not like your normal Cherry or OEM, you know, keycaps. They're like these MCR keycaps, which again, very, very close to Cherry, slightly different, but very close. So if you're used to using like a keyboard that has Cherry style keycaps, you'll, it should, there's like no getting used to this keyboard. It's not like the SA, because we both use keyboards with
It definitely takes work to get used to those.
Yeah, the SA takes some time. So you have those. Under the hood, we have the really cool switches that I'd never used before. So these are the Kale Sonic 53s. These are designed as a speed switch, speed gaming switch. So very much like a Cherry MX Silver. Very fast. They feel really good. It is a tactile switch. And it's hot swappable. So you can pop these out and use other switches if you want to. Like I said, I think when it comes to these pre-made keyboards, giving you all of the features that you would get in a pre-built, especially like the ability to hot swap switches, you can definitely do that. Of course, we have that gasket mount design. You have a big silicone dampener in the bottom, plus multiple dampening layers. I mean, you can see how many layers this keyboard has. You have quite a lot there. So the sound is really good. Like I guess you can kind of hear that, but
yeah.
I mean, we have a sound test in the review if you want to hear it, but the sound on this is really, really good. It's like, if you've ever just used like your normal gaming keyboard, you know, from one of the big names, and then you use something like this, it's like night and day, right? It just sounds really, really good. So it sounds good. It feels good. No vertical adjustment on this at all. So this is, this is the layout that, you know, that you're left with, which I do feel is fine. It is for me. It wasn't weird. It didn't feel too flat. It didn't feel too raised, but there is no adjustment at all. So just keep that in mind. Of course, we have a little button here or selector where you go from wire to Bluetooth to 2.4 gigahertz Type-C connection, of course. And then the back looks really cool, actually, because you can see that big dampening pad through the transparent plastic. The keyboard is heavy. It has a good feel to it. It's definitely not the heaviest keyboard that I've reviewed, but it, like I said, it feels good. It feels solid. And like I said, overall, I really did like using this keyboard. MelGeek has updated their software. Their first piece of software was like very, I guess you would call it archaic, if anything. It just wasn't put together all that well. They have new software, which is called Hive. And it works awesome. It's very easy to reprogram everything. You can easily set macros. There's a full macro builder like built into it. So you know it's very easy to do. This also allows you to change the lighting on the keyboard very easily. You can do it per key. You can do the whole keyboard. You can do everything very easily. And it even has the ability to make your own shortcuts, which is really cool. You know, a lot of keyboards you can reprogram, but to make an actual shortcut that does something like, you know, again, these are function, you know, toggle system. So you can actually make your own shortcut on the keyboard, which is pretty cool. So I really like that. And then one thing that was really interesting, again, this is just like the nerd in me, or, you know, when I had this plugged in, it shows you like the temperature of the keyboard. It shows you how, like what percentage you're charging, the electric current that's going into it, the voltage, the remaining, like there was just like a lot that's of cool. information on this, yeah. which is really cool. And of course you can see all your firmware, you can update your firmware, you can do all that stuff, but I really like the software. The software was good. And it's good to see, because I think, again, this is like a gaming style Switch. This is really targeted, even though it's not necessarily targeted or marketed as a gaming keyboard. It is a gaming Switch. And of course, all of us gamers want macros, especially if you're like Ryan and you're playing WoW, which I don't feel Ryan has played WoW in a long time.
No, I haven't. I really haven't. Yeah.
But, you know, you want your macros. So it's nice that they have the software that allows you to do that. And you do get lighting on the keyboard, although I do feel that the colorway really sells this. But I mean, here's like with a just all white and just normal lighting. So this is what it's going to look like. Again, you don't have clear legends that a lot of gaming keyboards do. So the only lighting you're going to get is from around the keys. So that's, you know, what it looks like with the lights off. And then you can do different colors, obviously, and change everything around. But I just think with the white, it looks fine. This, you know, RGB lighting isn't really the selling point of this keyboard. But overall, I really like this keyboard. And I'm pretty impressed with the price as well. $139. I feel like it's a good price for this keyboard. Again, it gives you all the keys you want. Awesome colorway. There is another colorway, which I'll bring up here.
I think the only thing holding it back is the lack of like height adjustment.
Yeah,
seems odd.
Yeah. For some reason, it's like not letting me see the other colorway. But here's the other colorway. It's more of a green with a black, which I like the colorway that I got. But the other one is like this green with black keys.
Reminds me of like mint chocolate chip ice cream.
It does. Now I'm hungry.
Sorry.
But yeah, it kind of does. They should call that one mint chocolate chip, honestly. But yeah, that's the other colorway. It's called Fountain. And the one that I have is called Ocean. And they don't have them on the website because I wanted to get one. But they have, it's in one of the pictures.
Their cables?
No, they have a matching desk mat. You see this?
Oh yeah, that would matches that. Yeah,
yeah. So they didn't have them on the website yet. I don't know if they're going to make them. That's obviously a render right here, but it would be really cool to get a desk mat that like perfectly matches the keyboard.
Heck yeah.
I mean, that would be awesome. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, I really like this keyboard for $139. I don't think you can go wrong. And again, if you don't want the speed switches, you can also get Kale Box plastics, which I have used on another Metal Geek keyboard. They're awesome. And then you have KL tactile switches as well. So again, you have the options to kind of choose which one you want, but $139, can't go wrong with that one, I think. So go ahead and check that review out. Like I said, I love the way this thing sounds. I still feel, for me, I was going to make this like my main keyboard, but it's just slightly still too big for me. That's the only thing.
I think you've looked at every one of their keyboards so far, right?
I have not looked at their Mojo 68.
Okay, so the 68's one you haven't looked
at.
Okay.
I did the Mojo 84, I did the Pixel, and then we just did the Modern 97. So far, Metal Geek has, you know, as a company, has impressed me.
Done well.
Again, I'm a huge fan of like the custom pre-built, right? It's the one that feels like a custom keyboard, but it's a pre-built. And I think these are great because, you know, you can go out in the Best Buy and get the brand name gaming keyboard, and it's fine and it works. But I think these, now we saw with your review of the Cooler Master keyboard, we are seeing the big name, you know, companies that are more known for gaming doing the things like all the dampening and hot swappable PCBs and things like that. It's good. And I think companies like Metal Geek and other, and even custom builders are really pushing that on them. So, like I said, so far, Metal Geek has really impressed me. Every keyboard that I reviewed, I've liked. So yeah, cool stuff there. Definitely check that review out. And I didn't put it in the notes for some reason, but we do have a new video on our YouTube of the case that I reviewed last week, which is the Cooler Master Masterbox TD500 Mesh V2. I'm going to try to pause the video. But yeah, check the video out. I don't want to talk about it because we talked about it last week. Mm-hmm. But I had a lot of fun shooting this one. Case reviews or case videos take a long time, but it's like I always love shooting the B-roll for some reason. I get to use
And you tell me how many shots you take on these. You're like, I do a pan left and a pan right and a up and a down, and then turn this angle and do pans. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
You don't
want
to be.
You're always going to want more. Yeah. You don't want to be editing and like, I wish I had this shot.
Yeah. I've had that happen, and it's so frustrating.
Oh, yeah, same.
You know, because I have to break down the room. Like, you know, it's, yeah, but I got to use my motorized, what's it called?
Tripod or slider?
Yeah, my slider. When I do case reviews, I use the slider a lot. I don't use it as much on other products. So there's some good slider shots in this if you guys want to check it out. But yeah, we talked about it last week. The TD500 Mesh V2, $199 right now. Great, affordable case from Cooler Master. So check out the video. It is on our YouTube channel. Worth taking a look at. So go ahead and take it. Oh yeah, and the other thing is, yeah, so I'm finally running out of space in my my 20 terabyte external drive, because I keep all the footage, right?
Sure.
So yeah, we're getting to I'm
build a NAS.
I have a NAS, which is also decently full. I need
another NAS.
I need like a work NAS, you know? So yeah, maybe for this upcoming, year, but I have like 3 terabytes left on this, on that, that external,
wow,
which isn't a lot, because each video, each Think Computers video, I think probably like 100 gigs of raw files or something like that, if not more. So yeah. And imagine if you, and that's at 4K 24. Imagine if I was shooting like 4K 60 or like
the, 8K. You know,
all like the like MBK, and whenever they do their, they, and I think what's that guy's name? Austin Evans was building a custom NAS for a lot of the big YouTubers, because they're shooting on like Reds and these crazy cameras where like the file sizes are just like enormous, you know?
Huge. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing you run into when you get new cameras. So, but anyways, yeah, check that out as well. We'll move on from that to Case Mod Friday. And this is a build that I think Ryan's going to like a lot.
Well, I was looking at it and it has a component that we just talked about last week or the week before, and I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah, I did see that as well.
That water block.
Yeah, so this one is, of course, from our friend Stuart over at GGF. This is the ProArt build, and there was a handful of ProArt builds that were done over the past couple months. This is one of them. I think we featured the other one as well. I could be wrong. But, of course, ProArt is like the professional line from Asus. They have ProArt graphics cards. I don't think they have ProArt power supplies, but they have like graphics cards. Of course, they have their monitors. They have motherboards now. And this one is, of course, like I said, from GGF. And I mean, I'm from Pittsburgh, so the black and the gold. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
no, it's awesome. You can definitely tell it's liquid cooled, but really the only cooling components you see are that big, you know, reservoir and pump.
Yeah.
You got the single tube coming out there, then you have a water block on the CPU, but there's no tubing because it's using that new block runs the fluid through the mounting holes on your motherboard. So I thought that was pretty awesome. I liked seeing it in use and seeing how the liquid goes through the block to kind of get an idea of how that was working. So
yeah.
That's pretty sweet. I like that Team Group T-Create RAM as well. I thought it looked really like high-end, like just real like fancy looking kind of, right?
I think everything on this build just goes so well together, right?
Yep.
And this is like supposed to be like made to be really, really sleek. And I really like what he did here. So these are
those holes.
Yeah. So this is a screen, right? But he's cut out holes just for the sections, you know, that are showing the different levels and usage and things like that. That is super cool to me. I just really, really like that. We can go through these pictures. I mean, it just, you know, the dual ProArt graphics cards in there. Like I said, I mean, it just, everything goes so well together in this build. Of course, I mean, it's Stuart. Stuart does a really good job on these builds, of course. But, and again, this, like, this build isn't necessarily all that difficult, right? It's,
yeah, I mean, I'd like to see the backside. Not,
yeah, there's no know, shots. Not
that it's crazy. I mean, the most difficult part, honestly, is probably the custom holes for the screen.
Yeah, right here.
And then, like, maybe some custom work on the case to get it to be this open design.
I think the case comes like this.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna, obviously got that.
Let me see. It is the Yule Beast Lithium E case. So it comes okay, like
so
that.
So it is yeah. open. Oh, well then. Yeah. Yeah. Not to like take away from his work.
Yeah, of course. This, of course. Yeah. I just think that, like, as far as the complexity, it's not as complex as, of course, some of his other builds, but the thing that I like about Stuart is he always picks the components that go so well together.
Yeah. Nothing looks right? mismatched.
Yeah. So it's like, even if the build necessarily isn't as complex as some of his other ones, it still looks so amazing because he's picked the right parts, the right colors, he picks just everything that goes so well together, and it's just neat and organized. And I think, again, that's why he stands out a lot compared to other builders. Yeah, we've known Stuart for a long time, so like we know his style, but his style is like that clean and concise build, right? So yeah, and I really do like that block. It's just so different because you would have to have tubing coming either over the back of the case or over right. this way, and it just this really illustrates that what we were talking about last week, I believe it was last week, that, you know, just how clean this looks.
Yep.
I would wonder, and again, we should probably should have done some research on it. Like, is there a difference in cooling per se? Right.
Right. What's the performance out of this? Is it similar to what you would get in a standard water block? Maybe, hopefully. Yeah.
And again,
I'm guessing it probably is. If you've got people like Derbauer associated with it, right?
Yeah,
he's not gonna support or promote a product that doesn't perform.
Yeah for sure. So go ahead and check this one out. Of course, it's in our Case Mod Friday section on the site, and then we'll move on to news this week. And in our Discord, Taltosh, our buddy, he was talking about these. He said Ryan should get one of these. And I would be super jealous if Ryan did get one of these, actually. Mm-hmm. So AMD, they've had their big partnership with Starfield. We talked about it.
Yep.
There was some controversy initially because it was said that they wouldn't allow NVIDIA technologies in the game, like DLSS and things like that. But this is like AMD's big game that they're sponsoring this year. So with that, they have some really cool Starfield themed parts. I think the graphics card is the big one, but they're also going to have a Ryzen 7 7800X3D Starfield limited edition. I think it's just the box.
It's just the box.
But
so I'm not as excited about that, but I think this GPU looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. So here's, like I said, this is what the graphics card looks like. Completely Starfield themed build or themed card. It looks really cool. But you can't buy.
Yeah, you can't buy them. You got to win one.
So they're doing a giveaway for these.
I think they're going to have 500 of each. So they're pretty limited edition. Actually, 500 is like a pretty decent number.
Yeah, because like when NVIDIA did theirs, like their Cyberpunk, there was like two or four.
There was definitely not as many as that.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome.
It is. That's pretty
sweet. Yeah, so if you go to amd.com/Starfield, it'll give you more information and how you can win one and things like that. But yeah, these do look nice. I know... what's the guy's? He's a modder. He has like the crazy tubing designs. Mods by Ben.
I was gonna say Mods by Ben did a build with.
Yeah, this. He has them.
Was at QuakeCon. Yeah.
Yeah. So, very cool.
That one looked good.
It's always good when they do it right, and I honestly don't think NVIDIA does it right because they just put a backplate on the card. Like you saw the Cyberpunk one. It's like
this one took some effort to design that shroud and the color, everything about it is like, yes, somebody took time and did this.
Yeah, no, I do feel...
Maybe that's why they make 500 of them, because they're like, well, we put in all the effort to make this custom shroud. Let's make it worthwhile.
Yeah, so check that out. Really cool stuff. I would like to win one. AMD, let me win. I would put it in here. I would replace my 3090 with it for sure.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. Talking about on the other side, NVIDIA, there is some new leaked information about the RTX 50 series, which, again, from everything that we've heard, there's not going to be a 4090 Ti, right? It's just not going to be a thing, which I think some people are disappointed about. So if you guys aren't familiar, of course, RTX 50 is going to be the next generation of NVIDIA graphics cards. It's going to run on the Blackwell architecture. And they've been naming their architectures after famous mathematicians and other people. So this one's named after David Blackwell. And the chip names are going to start with GB for, is it Generation Blackwell? Is that what the G stands for?
Maybe, yeah.
Or GeForce. I think the G stands for GeForce, maybe. But in any case, so you're going to get... GB202, GB203, GB205, and GB206. And as we get closer to launches, this is what you'll see referenced in our articles about these products, because that is the chip that's essentially going to be running different things. So like the GB202 would be the highest end. So the way the naming works is the lower of the number, the higher up on the chain it is. It's interesting that it goes from 202 to 203 to 205 and 206, no 204. Yeah. So
who knows?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. And that could be like the refresh, right?
There you go. Yeah, the supers or the TIs or whatever.
Yeah, so we don't know, but that's pretty much the information that we do have on this. No real indication as when this is going to be. Do you have any guess when you think we would see a RTX 50 card?
Man, I don't know. I almost feel like next fall.
Yeah. Again, if they're not doing, are we gonna get a refresh on anything?
Well, that's a long time. Like what we just talked about, right? Like they're not gonna get away with just releasing something and waiting 2 years. I don't think so. Yeah, I think we'll see maybe some sort of refresh. I just think it's too soon to see this 50 series already. You know, at like finding out something at CES is not on my bingo card, right? At all.
Yeah, no, I don't see that. They could surprise us, be like, instead of a refresh, you're getting a brand new architecture.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening either. That just doesn't make any sense. No. But it's good to know, like, you know, when these leaks and things come out, that just means that we're slowly getting closer to new graphics cards, which is always a good thing. So definitely, well, like I said, we'll keep you guys updated. And as more leaks come out, we'll definitely let you guys know you know, what the deal is. Talking about NVIDIA, Overwatch, is this just an expansion? Overwatch Invasion, is that just an expansion?
I think so. I haven't really paid attention to Overwatch in quite a while.
So Overwatch 2 Invasion was announced last week. That's just like, I assume it's the expansion, but NVIDIA is doing a bundle with it. So you'll be able to... with RTX 40 series laptops, as well as graphics cards and desktop PCs, you'll get this bundle that comes with invasion story missions, skins, battle pass tier, premium battle. Like you get a bunch of stuff, 3,000 Overwatch coins. It's not like you're getting the game for free, because the game is free.
Right.
But you're getting a bunch of stuff in the game, legendary skins, things like that. Pretty much down the entire 40 series, from the 4090 all the way down to the 4060. And then on the laptops, again, from the 4090 all the way down to the 4060 as well. And this includes pre-built PCs with these.
That's nice.
Yeah, with these cards. So it is nice the getting a free game, but Overwatch is obviously free. But yeah, getting like 3,000 coins plus the
skins plus the, and
all yeah, the battle pass stuff. and things like that. It's a nice thing if you're yeah, like I said, if you're on the NVIDIA side, it's just something extra that you get. So definitely cool to see that from NVIDIA. And this is pretty interesting. So the low end Intel chip has always been the Pentium, right? Or not always, but as of the Core series, yeah, the Pentium was the slow chip, right? What was the last? The last big one was like, yeah, the Pentium Gold G7400 was, and then we talked, there was like articles about people trying to overclock that thing and push it to the limits. We've seen all that. You know, that's like the very entry level dual core chip. It looks like they're working on a chip called the Intel 300, 46 watt TDP dual core, 6 megabytes L3 cache, 3.9 gigahertz base frequency. And then the new naming is going to be Intel 300.
Yeah. So no Pentium, no.
Yeah. No Pentium core.
No. Yeah. 45 watt processor, 46 watt processor.
Yeah. I mean, I think for Intel, they're changing everything, right?
Yeah. They're having a lot of changes right now.
They're making a lot of changes. So I don't necessarily feel great about like 300. What does that even mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's not like, you know, you used to see like components designed with like their speed in the name sometimes. Right. Yeah. Unless we start seeing like an Intel 400 and a 500 and you can,
but like, kind of like, you're going to run out of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You're just going to get, now we've, you know, the i7 14900, right? We're going to be at the, you know, you just yeah, keep getting bigger numbers all the time. But where do you think this chip ends up? Like, what's this thing going in?
It's going to go in just
like super low end,
like low end desktop, pre-built mini PC, mm-hmm, that type of stuff. And then those have always been good sellers for Intel, right? Because you need like an internet machine, right? And
right,
that's not a laptop or whatever. So yeah, it's interesting. The naming's the big thing for me. Something could have been.
It seems like a really old name, like Intel 300. Like, when did this come out? In the 80s, almost, right? Because it's a 14th gen processor, so it's on current,
yeah,
tech, but just has this name that makes it to me feel.
I would even prefer like it was the Pentium Gold. Like, I would even prefer Intel Gold, or like just take the name, like the number out. Like, what is, like, I just don't understand what the 300 means. You know what I mean? I think that's the biggest weird thing to me.
Yeah, because it doesn't match up with any of the specs.
Because you know what like Intel Core means, like, you know what, if you're getting a core processor, it's the mid-range into enthusiast range part. Mm-hmm. I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah,
maybe there'll be a 200 and a 100.
There could be. I wouldn't want
or
one.
Maybe, but they'll have a 400 that's like
that's unlocked. What I'm saying, right?
They'll have a 400 that's unlocked, you know. So we'll see.
The 300K.
yeah. So we'll see, you know, what happens with that. On the keyboard side, I wanted your thoughts on this new keyboard from Corsair. You still rock your K. So what do you have?
The K6. No, K. I forget now. K65?
K65 Lux, MK2.
Right? No, I think it's the K65 Lux.
Okay.
Yeah, the K65 Lux. It's a TKL.
Okay, so they have a K70 Max, mm-hmm, with their new MGX Hall Effect switches, and then they have a new HS80 Max headset. The keyboard has pretty cool design. I just feel like this design is great, and we've praised it for years reviewing their keyboards. I just think they need something new. Is that like weird to say?
No, I don't think so. I do think they need to, and they've done some of that, right? They came up with those like smaller 60% keyboards in the colorways, but they just, I don't know. And they've made a couple designs here, changes here and there. It's fine. I'm sure it's a fine keyboard, but like you said, when you're talking about the other MelGeek keyboard, like it just still feels like that traditional gaming keyboard, right?
Yeah.
But it'd be awesome if they slapped some silicone dampening into this thing and made it, you know, just a little more robust and solid.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to use these switches though, see what they're like.
Yeah, the
I think they're a magnetic magnetic mechanical switches.
Yeah.
MGX.
Yeah, maybe we'll get one of these into review possibly.
K70 Max.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a new keyboard from Corsair. I just feel like this design they've just had forever.
That's a lot of desk real estate.
Well, yeah, and this is truly a full size too. So again, everything's spaced out over here, and you have the wrist rest, which a lot of people, I haven't used a wrist rest in a long time.
I use the wrist rest on my K65.
Yeah, but for a while I used a wrist rest for a very long time, and then I kind of got away from it. But yeah, cool. Cool keyboard. And then, like I said, they have the HS80 Max, which
is... What was the improvement to the Max? Do you know? I didn't look into it too much.
It has Bluetooth support, 2.4 gigahertz wireless. I think that's the difference.
Because did the HS80 just have wireless?
Yeah, so this has Bluetooth.
It didn't have Bluetooth. Okay.
Yeah, so this allows you to just hit a button and switch between your devices pretty easily, which is kind of cool because you can have it connected to your phone. Somebody calls, you can take it right on the headset as you're gaming. There was another headset that did that. I think the headset that I have on, I'm pretty sure the Steel Series does that.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but I'm almost pretty sure it was this because this is the last headset I think I reviewed.
Both have the previous HS80, right?
So I do like that because there's so many people, again, you're in these you're in these crazy long gaming sessions, and then just like walking away to take a call, you could just easily take it on the headset is very, I do like that. I'm a huge fan of that, and I like I said, I don't really use it that much because I'm not playing games all that much, but you forget to hit the mute button on your mic, and then somebody hears it, but you can take it all through the headset. And again, you don't have to pick your phone up, which is, because again, your hands are either on your mouse or your keyboard. So I definitely like that there as well. Quake 2 returns.
Saw this.
So there's a, what would you call it? Is this an enhanced release? Visual upgrades, new content, online multiplayer.
Okay. So, I never played, the first Quake I played was Quake 3, so Quake 2 doesn't like have a soft spot, I don't have a soft spot for,
Quake 2 is so much fun.
Yeah, UT and just original Unreal Tournament Quake 3 were the two that kind of got me into that faster shooter type game.
Yeah, Quake 2 was definitely one of the first that I played. I remember playing it for the first time, and like again, there wasn't like a whole lot. I mean, there was like the original, you had Doom, but they were just like, Quake was just so much faster, and it just looked so much better than whatever else was out there at the time. And when you played it, you were like, wow. Like, I think it was one of the first games where like you kind of felt like in the game. Like, it was real enough that you kind of felt like you
were immersed.
Yeah, a little more immersed in it. That's what I really liked about it. Yeah. So, and again, super fast paced, which I also really liked. But yeah, it's cool. Like I said, you can online multiplayer too.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, bringing that back. So they have that, and then Netflix is launching their own cloud gaming platform, which. That works so well for Google. I can't imagine it's going to be great for Netflix. So it just launched.
It launches on TV. So is it?
Well, it's cloud gaming, so you don't need a powerful computer. It is going to launch on TVs first. PCs coming later. It's
how are you interacting with this? Do you pair a controller?
So your phone is the. So I think
come on,
it does bring a certain value add to Netflix as far as like, especially like for kids, because these a lot of these games are going to be like more like fun Super Smash Bros type family friends type of games. So it does bring a value add to Netflix. I just don't, and again, I just don't, the amount of money that they're going to pour into this, is there a return for Netflix on this? Like, are they,
you would think you could add, like, even if it was just like $1 a month, right? You add on the gaming.
Oh, I think it's free.
I know. I'm just saying, like, I think that they could get away with like charging people $1 to like make more money on this. You think?
Yeah, I could see myself end of the day, I'm bored. There's nothing good on Netflix. Or I can't find anything to watch. I'm like, oh, let me play that, like, say like a Zelda type game.
Yeah.
Let me just
how does progression work too? Like,
I guess I don't know.
Out there?
I don't know. I don't know how any of it works. When it rolls out in the US, maybe I have Netflix, I can try it out.
Yeah.
There's only like two games, I think. There's like one or two games that will be available first, right? Again, just the amount of money that they're putting into this just doesn't, I don't know. But yeah, hey, I mean, we'll see. But like I said, I mean, massive company like Google couldn't really get Stadia to do anything. So, and you know, the only real big players out there are who? NVIDIA, Microsoft,
and Amazon.
Yeah. And do you even know about, like, do people even know about the Amazon cloud gaming thing? You know, maybe.
What's it called? Luna or something? Is it?
Yeah. So pretty interesting. So it's going to operate on select devices from initial partners, including, of course, Amazon Fire TV, streaming media players, Chromecast, Google TV, LG TVs, NVIDIA Shield TV, Roku devices and TVs, Samsung Smart TVs, and Walmart ONN, whatever that is.
That's what my TV is upstairs. I have it on TV.
Okay. Yeah. So
in our bedroom.
Yeah. But I think, again, like, you know, people buy a Switch or, you know, or something for like a family gaming thing. This allows you to not have that. Like, but I guess everybody has to have like a phone to like use.
Right. To control it and interact with
it. But I guess like all these TVs support Bluetooth. So maybe they could come out with a controller eventually or something. Maybe. I don't know.
I wouldn't want to interact with the game. Like, I guess it depends what the game is. But I would hate to have to like look down at my phone for certain controls. I mean, they're pretty simple, right?
But I mean, maybe it does support just like Bluetooth controller support. Mm-hmm. So if you had a Bluetooth controller for something else, you could use it for this. Who knows? But that's something that, like I said, if either Ryan and I get the beta, maybe we'll let you guys know how it works or anything. But it's just Canada and the UK currently for the beta. So we're not in any of those places. So we'll see. And then the last thing that we did want to talk about, it's been all over Reddit, it's been everywhere, is the drama with Linus Tech Tips and Gamers Nexus. I assume if you're listening to this podcast, you know who those guys are. Probably, I would assume. I know Linus is like the number one tech YouTuber based on subs. I assume that Gamers Nexus isn't far behind. And I guess we can throw Hardware and Unboxed in there as well, because they're part of this thing. So the the whole thing started, and I think this is just bad on whoever this person is who worked for Linus, but somebody was doing a studio tour of like the Linus Media Group's studio. And they said, here, I'll just, cause I have the video saved and I'll play it for you guys. Let me see here.
A few days ago, this clip from an LTT lab tour got a lot of attention online.
The difference between us and somebody like Gamers Nexus or Hardware Unboxed is we test new components, new tests every time.
So that is like a video, like it wasn't a Linus video, it was again somebody doing a studio tour, and it was another YouTuber, but that person who worked for Linus Tech Tips was essentially calling out Gamers Nexus and Hardware Unboxed, saying they don't retest stuff. And for say somebody called out, and people have called out our reviews, and there's people have called out Ryan's stuff before, and we've had to address those certain things, is that if you're getting called out, then sure, right? There is, you should address it or go back at that person. I think that anybody who works, especially if you're doing, I mean, it was graphics card reviews are long and intensive, and it's just a lot. And especially like we do 6 or 7 games. I mean, there are, and we always talk about Tech Power Up, but I mean, Gamers Nexus as well. Like, I mean, they do 30 games. I mean, it's a lot, right? You put that much work into what you're doing and then get called out. It is, you want to say something, right? You want to go back at whoever said the thing. And I think it was very careless on that person's part. And I do feel that, at least by the way that that guy said it, he seemed like there was a bone to, like he didn't like how maybe how popular Gamers Nexus is, or how maybe somebody reacted to a Gamers Nexus video on a graphics card compared to theirs, or Hardware Unboxed compared to theirs, or those got more views. That, like, let me play it again so you guys can just like listen to the guy from Linus Tech Tips call out, and just listen to, that's the thing that caught me about this, is he seems upset when he says it.
Yeah,
I'll play it again.
A few days ago, this clip from an LTT lab tour got a lot of attention online.
The difference between us and somebody like Gamers Nexus or Hardware Unboxed is we test new components, new tests every time.
New components, new tests every time. He was like waiting to say that almost.
Yeah, and I get that. We do, and again, we're not remotely close to as big as any of these three other entities, right? There is competition, right? We get a product, so, you know, we have friends in the industry that get the same product. We do a launch video, they do a launch video. Their video explodes, ours doesn't. You know, I've always been the person that really doesn't care per se, right? I get to do this, I get to check out new tech before everybody else and give my opinion on it. And I think that's great. Yeah. Of course there's competition, but I think there's healthy competition, right? You see somebody doing well, you want to do well, right? There's, at least for me, there's never any resentment towards anybody else in the industry, unless they say something about me. It's the same thing. Sure. It's with like anything in life. And I think that's what kind of, The responses from everybody else is kind of what, I don't know, made me feel a certain way about it. So long story short, that comes out. Gamers or Hardware Unboxed replied on Twitter, you know, saying if you have to tell everybody how good your testing is, you know, it probably isn't that good. Like, you know, going back and forth on Twitter, fine. And then Gamers Nexus made a video, and then Linus did an apology video, and back and forth, which is fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think if somebody calls you out and you call them out back, there's nothing wrong with that, right?
Sure.
Especially if you're calling somebody out. And I think the biggest thing is that this person at Linus Tech Tips was calling out Gamers Nexus and Hardware Unboxed, and it was pretty easy for both Hardware Unboxed and Gamers Nexus to find faults in their graphics card testing as well.
Right. So if you're going to dish it out, you better be ready to take it.
Well, you
better be sure that you don't have anything for them to find about you.
And not only that, there's other allegations, and there's stuff with this water cooling component, which I'm not going to go into because I really don't care about that. That's whatever happened in that situation. It's none of my business because it doesn't affect me. Right. And then none of this really does. Right. But I think the thing that makes me upset, not upset, but it's just very funny that you see all over Reddit, and you see, I've seen people that are other tech YouTubers instantly, as soon as this happened, it was like, it's okay to say something now about Linus Tech Tips. And people are like, yeah, I met, you know, Linus is an asshole. I met him at whenever in 2015, and he was so mean to me. I always knew it. It's like, then why didn't you ever say anything? Like, if he was this bad of a person, it's like the Me Too thing, right?
Yeah.
One thing comes out, and then there's 20 other ones. And that's just what it seems like this is. And I'm not a fan of that. I think that if you have a problem with somebody, you address it. You don't, when somebody else has a problem, you pile on. I'm not a fan of that. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but that's kind of the whole situation. I think it's completely fair for Gamers Nexus and Hardware Unboxed to go back and forth and be like, well, if you think ours is so bad, here's what you're doing, right? That's
right.
That's right. Fine and in place. But all of this other stuff especially from other tech YouTubers or other people in the space that have nothing to do necessarily with the situation, I'm not a fan of. Like I said, for the most part, all of this drama, and there's been drama on YouTube with tech YouTubers for years, and we've been in this for a very long time. And you just like never really get involved because it's just stupid at the end of the day. It doesn't really affect you. Yeah.
I think another thing to like look at is when you get to being that big, like you have such a target on you, even if like people aren't actively going for you, but there's like millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, Linus's media group is enormous, right?
And I think that
there's so much. Now, you know, all these other allegations and talk like, can it really have a big impact? It's not just Linus and you know, a couple people making videos in somebody's basement or something. Like, this is a huge organization and enterprise that they're running. So yeah, things can get out of hand pretty quick. I don't know. I don't really have any, you know, I've bumped into Linus, you know, like at seeing him at CES and things like that, but it's like,
yeah, I've spoken to him a couple times. And most people in that situation, I really don't, you know, unless I really have a genuine conversation with that person.
Yeah, you're not gonna.
I've never had with anybody in this situation. You know, we're at CES. Like, he's busy working. I'm busy working. Right. Like, it's not really. But I never.
Wonder if people form their opinions on stuff like that. Yeah. You know, you're like, I saw him and he was standing there with someone else and wouldn't talk to me. And it's like, well, like there's a million other people there. And
that's the thing is like, you know, especially CES and other shows too. Like, we're running from appointment to appointment, meeting to meeting. Like, we don't have time to like sit around and BS. Like, I've been not like an asshole, but I'm just like, hey man, like we got like 10 minutes to get across the show floor. Like, we, you know what I mean? Like, but I just think the piling on, and it's great to address the issues because I do feel that there are some ethics issues and some other work environment things going on at Linus Media Group, right? But that's none of our business, right? That's the employees, the people who work there, that type of thing, right? So I don't know. I don't like when there's drama in this whole, in our sphere per se. I think if somebody's doing something incredibly shitty, I guess you can kind of call it out. But I think at the end of the day, I don't think anybody involved in this, and again, I don't know these people personally, like on a personal level, I don't think anybody involved in this scuffle is a shitty person. I think if anything, the people piling on either side, right, there's people going after everybody in this, I think those are the shitty people. I think let them air their grievances, you know, reply back after getting called out. Because if somebody called out us, I would do the same thing. And we have been called out on certain things. I've messed up reviews. I've, you know, not tested something properly, and we've made corrections. And it's not easy. I wouldn't say it's not easy, but it's, again, especially when it comes to graphics card reviews and certain things, it's not, you can easily make a mistake. You can easily put it in, you, I can easily put something in Excel wrong and then make the graph look bad, or, you know, certain things like that. So I think that's, I don't know, but I just think that, again, my I don't have an issue with any, again, none of that stuff. I really, it doesn't affect me if, you know, what you, everybody who's listening to this probably knows all the allegations. That stuff doesn't affect me. It, you know what I mean? But saying somebody's a shitty person that you met once and you're, I mean, you're not the, there are, you know, you're a decently sized big YouTuber and you're saying these things, it's just stupid. And I know a lot of people are just making videos for views and for things like that. And again, that's not why we're we don't get a ton of reviews or a ton of views on our podcast here. And I think if anything, if we were trying to capitalize on something like this, I'd make like a dedicated video. I really don't care enough to do that. But all that stuff, I think that's the biggest thing. So yeah, that's all I really have to say about it. But I do think we had to address it because it's pretty much all of Tech Reddit has been that for the past, what is it, few days. So yeah, that's pretty much it. That's it for our news, though. Not a whole lot going on this week.
No,
as far as tech stuff. What we have coming up next week, I did not finish my review of a Lenovo Yoga 9i. Expect that in the next couple days. I love this laptop. This thing is so good. I forgot because I reviewed the 2022 one, and that's not like my daily driver. So the getting the new one and the OLED screen on this is just so nice. And it is like one of the better non-business laptops out there. So I'm really excited to tell you guys about that. So that's coming next week. And then I'm also taking a look at the Thermaltake, the Swafan EXs that we saw at CES.
Those are cool.
The magnetized ones, of course. So I'll be installing those in a case, and not as much. And I, again, we don't do big, like, I'm not going to do crazy performance tests on these. Just more of like, we'll do some sound tests and stuff. But the big selling point of these is how easy they are to connect. And I think when Ryan and I both know this. When it comes to building with RGB fans, the ease of connecting everything, connecting the controller, all of that stuff, that's the big thing when it comes to these fans. So these are, of course, magnetized, should make the process a lot easier. And I'll be comparing them to the Li and Li Uni fans, which clip together, and how they're different and things like that. So we have a three-pack of those.
Yeah, cleaning up that cable mess is so nice. Like, I have 9 fans in this case, and they're plugged into 2 controllers. I like had to use paint marker to label the RGB and fan connectors so that I could keep everything straight. And so that, because, you know, if I want to make my lights like go all the way in a line, I need to make sure that I know where each fan is at.
It's
a mess.
One thing that's really nice about these two is they come with, so there's a pack of 3, so you get 6 blades in there.
Yeah, so you can pull them and switch them, right?
Yeah, so that's really nice because it's hard to see, but they're upside down. They don't look as nice because you had to had them flip. But if you, so that's kind of nice and something thoughtful from Thermaltake there. So that is what's coming up next week. Of course, at the end, we talk about anything else tech related, anything on your end.
No, I got like ridiculously or way too excited about finding this. My wife was cleaning out like some drawer in the bedroom, and she had got a phone at one point that came with a Type-C to 3.5 audio adapter.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll take that. She's like, I don't even know what this is. Do you want me to throw it away? I was like, no, give me that. Like, I don't know that I'll ever use it, but it's a handy little dongle to have.
I have my Lightning to 3.5 millimeter, you know, for the phone. New iPhone's supposed to be coming out, so this is like my upgrade.
Upgrade season, huh?
Yeah, it's time for an upgrade because I'm on the 12.
You've been using an Android for a little while though.
No, that thing was garbage. I made some videos for a case company and they sent me the phone as well. Because it's for a Moto G Stylus 5G, which is a crap phone.
Taking a look at the case. Yeah.
Yeah. Same with the case, not the phone, but it was interesting using that little Android phone for a little bit. That phone has a 50 some megapixel camera on it.
Jeez.
And you know what? iPhone still looks better. So,
yeah.
New iPhone coming out. So I'm excited about that. Also, there's big rumors. So we talked about the Osmo Action 4, the little action cam, because you and I both have the original Osmo Action.
Yep.
The new GoPro, there's a rumor that it's going to have a 1-inch sensor, which is like,
dang.
That's a rumor. It's a rumor. Like, but if you get that on an action cam,
you can shoot in the dark.
Yeah, so that'd be kind of interesting. I'm trying to think if there's anything else tech related. I've been working on a lot of reviews, a lot of stuff going on with that. Next week, I have something really cool that I'll be doing that hopefully I'll be able to tell you guys about. So that'd be fun, but I can't tell you about it yet. I'm not allowed to talk about it yet. That's next week. So next week for the podcast, I'm not sure if I'll be doing it. I'm pretty sure I'll just do it here, but there's a possibility that I would do it from a hotel room, but we'll see. And then likely next week, I will not be gaming with you, Ryan. So if you want to get Taltos or somebody else to do the gaming stream with next week,
because I could have been there.
Yeah, we talked about it before the podcast. That following week, we'll talk about it next week, but Ryan has a microphone, mic arm. As well. Yep. So we'll have all that stuff. So that's pretty much what's going on. We will be playing some I can't even think right now. Apex Legends. I'm starting to sweat a little bit. I feel it. I'm feeling it.
Well, I don't see it through your shirt yet.
There were a couple times, I think last year, there were a couple times where like it was very close.
Just nasty.
Yeah. But we're going to go on Twitch. That's where we do our gaming streams, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan runs that stream. So if the stream sucks, blame it on him. Has your internet been better? Ryan has had some issues with his internet.
That's good. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah, because didn't you say they came out or?
No, it just like there's like 3 days where it was just crazy connectivity and latency issues. So gotcha. It's been fixed for a couple weeks.
Oh, nice. Nice. So we should be good on that. But just yell at him when he doesn't do good in the game. That's what you have to do. So, yeah. Thanks everybody for coming out. We appreciate you. And again, just go over to twitch.tv/thinkcomputers and Ryan will have that up. And we'll see everybody next week.